The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh, new, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 26th of January, 2026. We've now entered the 12th week of January, but it is soon coming to an end. Welcome back after a long, breezy weekend. I played that song. I mean, I asked my producer to play that song. Good morning, producer, and thank you very much. In honor of this headline today, PM says VAT cut savings can't be quantified. Of all the things in the paper today, of all the things that I prepared to talk about, this perhaps is the most fascinating story of all. PM says VAT cut savings can't be quantified. I mean, and can't is different from will not. Like, it suggests that it's impossible to quantify them. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis has defended his decision to eliminate value-added tax VAT on unprepared food in grocery stores, despite an estimate by the Nassau Guardian that the average household could save just $11 per month. Quote, "We did not move until we were sure the economy was on solid ground and the recovery was real, so we could protect jobs, keep the country stable, and still give families the relief that lasts," Davis told a crowd of Progressive Liberal Party supporters on Thursday night. Okay, good, 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 good. This is very good. Stick a pin. He was talking at a rally. Because the things that are said have to make sense, right? That's what y'all say. They don't have to make sense. It's like a rally. It doesn't have to make sense. That's good that we've gotten that out of the way. Because if the VAT savings can't be quantified, well, then how did you quantify that the economy was on solid ground? How did you come to that conclusion? If there's no quantification, no quantifying that can be done. Anyway, that's one of the things that we are going to talk about this morning. There's so much more in the papers and not in the papers to talk about. So let's get the show started. Hannah Hasty Times family members, our January general meeting is this week, Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026, 7 p.m., St. John's Auditorium. Tell a friend, post it on your Facebook wall, your WhatsApp status, your TikTok page, post it and share it, please. I say that. Hannah Hasty Times family members. Office of the Prime Minister, let's have less posting on social media, please. We're going to get to that story in a moment. Also, today, Monday the 26th of January, it is Ministry of National Security Community Centers Awareness Week. The first event is being hosted at the Edmund Moxie Community Center today. Lunch and learn from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Go and check it out. All right, so a little light news. And as we move into this segment, here are the numbers to call. 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720. Text line, powered as always by BTC. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96. Got a text here, says, so, good morning. So Mr. Davis is, quote, flying by the seat of his pants, close quotes then. That seat must be quite raggedy by now, probably hanging by a thread. I mean, that airline had the whole flight nail in the door. He can make it. You know, once he fly low, he'll be all right. Like the rest of us have to fly. Like the rest of us have to fly. All right, here is your daily dose of positive. A few months ago, a caller called in, very upset with me, felt that my tone was disrespectful when referring to some politicians and senior policy makers. He singled out a phrase that I use, honorable Biden. He thought it was disrespectful. I pointed out that perhaps it was, but it's a mechanism used to critique and inhibit the Westminster system and its operation in the Bahamas. Do these honorable men and women behave like honorable men and women? The caller then indicated that it is gender bias, sexist as well, because I don't refer to women in the same way, and I explained to him that I do. That was at that point that I got offended, because my critique is gender neutral, unless it is gender specific. So he then came back and said, how would I feel if he called me gay wench? And I just want that caller to know, thank you for inspiring me. This weekend, I was able to make my gay wench t-shirts. And if anybody would like to buy one, you go right to Rabble Bookstore, Bookshop, number 13 Park Gate Road at Ponciana Paper Press, and inquires what you could do to buy one as well. Thank you very much, caller. All right, so disturbing things I saw on video this weekend. There was a video of an intoxicated RBDF officer celebrating his birthday. How do I know he was an RBDF officer? Because I don't know everybody in the country. Well, I knew he was an RBDF officer because he's wearing his uniform. And in the video, somebody panned right, and there was an unfinished structure that made me think of the Defense Force Base in its unfinished state. The gentleman was in uniform. The gentleman was thanking, it was a very nice sentiment. He was thanking his peers and colleagues in the force and his supervisors for helping him get quote unquote wet on his birthday. It was such a lovely video, except for a couple of things. No RBDF officer should ever be found intoxicated, almost to the point of delirium, in uniform. Never, ever should you be found in that state in uniform. Secondarily, definitely not on duty. Definitely not on duty, and definitely not on base or in uniform. Secondarily, an RBDF officer should never allow themselves to be filmed while intoxicated. For me, that's a general rule, but more specifically, while in uniform and on what appears to be base. So he snitched on everybody in the video. His face is visible. his name tag is visible. It was just a disheartening and disappointing experience. I'm going to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, gracious, you should be screen. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Brother, boy, I tell you, all these things were going on in the Bahamas and Nassau. You surprised? That's what you surprised of? That he get drunk in uniform?
No, I didn't say I was surprised about him getting drunk in uniform. See, he didn't take the video. If he took the video while he was drunk in the uniform, then I say, well, that's what drunk people is too. Foolishness. Somebody took the video. That's what I... And then somebody said it out.
Off duty.
We don't know. What we can presume, all we're left to presume and speculate, is that he was on duty because he was in his uniform.
No, he could have been off duty and just coming from work wearing the uniform.
So if he's... See, if he's just coming from work, has he signed off yet? Has he completed the process of signing off? And if he's just coming to the base, at what point in the journey did he start getting wet? Sorry, intoxicated. Right? Like,
I know, but give him a blow. Is his birthday? We don't know what's going on until we find out the truth. Then let's demonize him after we find out what's going on, if he was on duty.
I'm not demonizing him. If there's that's going to take place, it is of the senior officers, particularly those responsible for training, that it would allow an environment like this to exist where people think this is okay.
Yeah, they're wrong for that one. But I really call the show, right?
Yeah.
What's going on with PMH? I hear on the news that they are the people who work there, right? The doctors and everything leaving?
Right.
Is that correct what I heard?
So there is an article in today's paper, Unions Warning of Healthcare Collapse. Dr. Lockhart, doctors leaving in droves as they feel abandoned. So we got
a question. Yeah. So if you go to PMH, you might chance dying just by walking through the door. Now you can dead because you know doctors there. Boy, I tell you. We in a predicament.
We are in a predicament, but the greater predicament is our inability to correctly identify the source of the dysfunction.
So what's going on? So they looking for pay or something?
So in, you know, when we were selling, okay, and I guess call in and then call back so we could talk about the iguanas. In the most recent industrial agreement, and producer, let's prep the next caller. Caller, I'm coming to you in a moment. Don't go anywhere. They're saying that terms agreed upon referencing overtime pay are being disregarded. The ministry or the authority is saying that they have exceeded the funds allocated for overtime pay already, so they don't know what they could do. You know what they could do? Find the money. The same way they find the money to do everything else, particularly when it comes to the political class. Like how y'all found the money to have a second memorial for Obi Wilchcombe in New Providence at Bahama. You found the $25,000 in the Commission for Persons with Disabilities budget. Find the money, maybe in the House of Parliament budget or the cabinet budget or the 2 meets, 3 meets, 4 meets budget. Like you remember when the Privy Council came here about 2 decades ago and y'all had 2 receptions? Y'all had 2 8-meet receptions? Y'all remember that? No, we don't remember that, hey. The caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Bahamas. You know, Aaron, the caller know that once you're in uniform, you know, you're always on duty, okay?
Yes, sir.
It's the integrity of the uniform that's important.
Yes, sir.
Not the individual. It's the uniform. And until we respect these positions and the uniform, then we'll continue to have these particular things. Now, my primary purpose of calling Aaron, you know, I had the unfortunate opportunity to be driving and I ran into that situation involving that 68-year-old senior citizen. Who was beaten to death.
On East Bay Street, yes.
It's unbelievable to see the level of disrespect that the younger generation has for the senior citizens. I don't know what would have transpired or what would have led to that brutal beating, but we hope that a thorough investigation is done. And if that individual is found wanting, we hope that he would face the full consequences of the law, because there's no justification for a 39-year-old man to beat a 68-year-old man, you could control that man with one hand, you know, without going using that type of violence. So it's just unbelievable, you know, that when you see some of these things, Aaron, you read in history and you see on television, but you never thought that you would be living in the Bahamas to see these things actually happening in this capable.
Yes, sir.
That's just my contribution in respect to that.
Absolutely. You know, the only thing I would add is I would say virtually, right? Like virtually all 68-year-olds. There may be a circumstance in which somebody may feel it's warranted. That's a totally different discussion about whether you should do it or not. We do have a major problem going on. I tell you another thing that's going on. We have a disregard for mental health and psychological crisis in the country. There are far too many men and women, I want to say, roaming the streets, but I don't mean in the public. I mean in the actual road, right? Because there's nothing that prevents these people from enjoying the same freedom of movement that we enjoy. That's not what I mean. What I mean is on Friday afternoon or Saturday, I think it was Friday, heading west on Shirley Street, immediately in front of St. Matthew's graveyard, there was, on the Shirley Street side, there was a man standing in the road, holding his pants halfway up. Obviously, he wants to be seen. He is, that corridor right there narrows so much, it's dark. And then, of course, y'all don't ever put your, you don't put your cell phones down, so you're not actually watching the road to see what's happening around you. I want to say good morning to the drivers on Shirley Street this morning at approximately 9:35 who were so deep in their phones that they had no idea how they were obstructing traffic. Yeah, that is, we have a mental health crisis in this country that is just being ignored. See, that's why this headline, PM says VAT cut savings can't be quantified. See, when you realize that the government has abdicated entirely its responsibility to the people, the citizens and their real lived experiences, and can only focus on statistics and an economy, and then you realize even the economy, they are running poorly because they think they could say to you, well, we can't even quantify the savings from that VAT cut, you know. Anyway, let's go to the text line, and then we're going to go back to disturbing things we saw online this weekend. Ms. Green considered that he also said his superiors are the ones. Again, no, I didn't forget. I mentioned that. I mentioned that. He snitched on everyone. And that's right. If you're in uniform, you're on duty. That's it. That's the rules. That's what you see. Y'all thought by taking off your dress shirt, by taking off your shirt, that you no longer on duty. But what you were doing was protecting yourself and not protecting the integrity of the uniform. Here's another call, a text. Your call is missing the point. Read Defense Force officer allegedly drunk in uniform. Whether on duty or off duty is irrelevant. It's the height of irresponsibility by the officer and his colleagues. You know what happened? I know y'all forget. Y'all don't remember the video? What we doing? What we doing, squatty? We drinking. Two police officers in the car. Like, y'all give them the one car with the computer, and they in it drinking beers. All right. So disturbing things we saw online this weekend. Royal Bahamas Police Force officers fighting in a station. Now, technically, I didn't see anybody fighting. I saw what I can infer is the aftermath of some sort of major conflict. Senior officers in the space were, I don't want to say desperately because that may sound like they didn't have control, but were urgently, like they were calming the scene down. And so I've asked a good brother, Calhoun, Anku the Third, Anku Sarah, Cleveland Enius the Third, doctor, to share with me, right, some music and some content, media content to share on the show over the next few days. That was very disturbing, right? RBPF officers fighting. And that, see, because that's after countless videos of people fighting, women fighting in the road. A man goes to try and protect a woman who's being ganged. The group of women turn around and gang him. two men fighting in the road, throwing blows. I saw several videos of multi-car accidents also over the weekend. And then we have the tragic fatality. I think it is also noted in today's Tribune on page... back here in another story. Anyway, a tragic traffic fatality. Police on Abaco are investigating a traffic fatality that occurred on Saturday. This is from Eyewitness News report yesterday, which claimed the life of a 58-year-old male. According to preliminary reports, shortly after 8 p.m., police were alerted to a traffic accident on Forest Drive involving a vehicle and pedestrian. Upon arrival, officers observed an unresponsive male lying on the southern side of the roadway, along with the driver of a white Jeep Cherokee. Emergency medical services attended the scene, examined the victim, and confirmed that there were no signs of life. The driver is assisting police with ongoing investigations. This is another tragedy and like needless tragedy. We have protocols, we have standards, we have regulations for the proper, like the, there's that music, right? For public infrastructure, for road works, road lighting, road conditions. All of these things exist. It appears as if no one cares. Just as we go to the break, it also appears as if we've stopped teaching people how to be pedestrians, how to use the road properly and according to the law. And I can say this. Now, look here. I love a vocab, you know. Y'all seen the new VAD video, the promo video with vocab and Bahamian Trey? I love it, right? But at the same time, see, vocab is make adult music too. Teachers, what you're supposed to be doing is teaching the children how to use the road safely and not teaching them that song about Backseat Warrior. Okay? I'm devastated. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get through these texts and we're going to get into the headlines. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Right, you know what went?
Nobody, what happened?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you send.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Drive.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Producer, you saw that letter to the editor this morning, eh? PLP backbenchers non-existent in House of Assembly. I could be honest with you, the whole Westminster system is non-existent in the House of Assembly, and it seems to not be troubling many of us. I am concerned. All right, I want to start the segment by reiterating for those who are watching via video and see the t-shirt. The shirt was inspired by one of our callers who found a label most fitting for me, and I wanted to say thank you to that caller. I want the caller also to know that this is a space where we don't have to agree with each other. We have to have regard for the rules and practice empathy and spatial awareness and regard for other people and be respectful. That's all. That's all. So, caller, I want you to know I was not upset. I mean, I was upset that maybe he was trying to hurt my feelings a little bit. But other than that, no, I am not upset. Okay, so let's get into sort of the headlines. Yes, on Friday, I had a show full of guests, two sets of guests. I thought it was a great show, but we didn't get to touch on the headlines for Friday. So let's just do a quick run through. OPM says actions of one officer does not define integrity of the Bahamas. And perhaps I'm inclined to agree with the OPM. Director of Communications in the Office of the OPM said yesterday that the actions of one person do not define the integrity of the Bahamas. Darren Roker, a former Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer, was sentenced to 4 years in the U.S. prison after he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to import cocaine into the U.S. That sounds familiar to me. Almost as if I would have read that in a history book if anybody had written it down. I mean, they said they'd be reading school. And I think the Director of Communications may have said this in a social media post? Maybe that was something else. Anyway, it was such an interesting statement. And so true, Director of Communications made that the actions of one officer does not define integrity or do not define integrity of the Bahamas. And then I remembered this story from the 16th of January in the Nassau Tribune. Former cop cries at guilty verdict. Former Police Staff Association Chairman Sonny Miller broke down in tears yesterday after being convicted of smuggling $1.4 million worth of cocaine and $34,000 worth of marijuana into Acklands in 2022. And then I saw this the other story, Marine and ex-con remanded on armed robbery charges, 23rd of January, 2026, in the very same paper that the OPM statement was in. A Royal Bahamas Defense Force Marine who allegedly committed two armed robberies with an ex-convict was remanded to prison yesterday. Listen. This is so interesting, right? So, Burroughs is the ex-convict, right? Burroughs is accused. Here we go. There's something in the conviction stemmed. Okay, so in 2023, Burroughs was convicted of assault with a deadly weapon and a couple of other charges and sentenced to 2.5 years. Let's read the charges. He got 2.5 years. For assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a firearm and ammunition, right? Sentenced to 2.5 years. The conviction stemmed from a 2019 incident where Burroughs fired a pistol into a crowd. Austin, the RBDF officer, testified on Burroughs' behalf at the trial. I'm just saying, you're right, sir. You are absolutely right. The actions of one officer do not define the integrity, the integrity of the Bahamas, the entire country. No, you're absolutely right. Oh, and then remember that intoxicated RBDF officer story? Yeah, that one too. Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. Let's go to the text line quickly. Here's a text. The government is going to Grand Bahama to hold their cabinet meeting. They need to use the money to pay the nurses overtime. The hospital only survives from overtime. Perhaps they can take some monies from the consultants, retired permanent secretaries. Okay, see, here's my thing. The healthcare has to run 24/7. The services have to run 24/7. It's not like a government service that the office closes at 5 and work stops at 2:15. It's not like that. I don't mean to disparage. I don't want you all to think that I'm disparaging all public servants and civil servants. That's not what that joke was about. All right, so then what maybe was the most exciting story in Friday's paper, 15 get PLP nod. 15 get PLP nod. And then the day before, I wanted to run again. Southern Shores MP Leroy Major said yesterday that he wrote to the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party asking to be renominated, but said the party saw differently. Okay. ZNS General Manager Clint Watson and PLP Vice Chairman Obi Roberts are currently vying for the PLP's nod for Southern Shores. Here's what I found interesting. Asked if he will run as an independent, Major said, watch the road, he said. I'm here. Whoever comes in Southern Shores, they have to come through me. Okay. All right. The PLP's candidate committee met on Tuesday and interviewed several aspirants. The party's National General Council is expected to ratify 14 candidates today. You know what I think may be helpful? What would be helpful if parties indicated why they decided to ratify an incumbent and why they decided to not ratify an incumbent? Like, I am equally excited to learn why the PLP decided to not ratify Leroy Major, as I am to find out why the party decided to ratify Kirk Cornish. After such a controversial time that he's had in his first term. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to thank you for your show and all of the different segments that you bring out. But, you know, I was one of the first persons to really highlight the Sonny Miller case. You know, you remember that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, you know why I did that? Because it was actually on page 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
instead of the front line. So you obviously, you see the ability to obfuscate, conceal the press, oppress, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that I lose respect for him in that he breaks out crying. You understand me? Any street man know what time it is to cry. What you crying for, brother?
Mm-hmm.
You see what they saying? I mean, everything cool, but all us face prostate problems. I don't know if you listen to Dr. Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you reach C70, 80, 80% of the members get prostate cancer. And so I'm going to beg Dr. Pinto to get into the intricacies and all of the new procedures for BPH and the causes for cancer
mm-hmm.
and the other forms of the prostate, why it's so predominant. We should be concerned about ourselves. I'm even sorry that I even live to see where I help these kind of problems. You understand me? But I really called because I'm afraid that I heard you. I want you to mention it in the details because I didn't hear about it. It clearly surprised me, but I didn't catch the news, I guess. A 60-year-old man was beaten, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this took place on Bay Street?
So it took place, yeah, on East Bay Street, sort of in the area of Colebrook Lane and is it Dunmore? I think Dunmore Street.
So, I mean, I can't remember exactly where. Yeah. I mean, it's part of basically, it's east of Elizabeth Avenue, right?
Yeah, so it's east of, it's east, just east of Victoria and the Corona Hotel.
All right, yeah.
Area there.
So that area is poorly lit?
As well.
So who is this 68-year-old man? He's a vagrant. I mean, because I'm afraid that, you know, as citizens, if I reach a state age without a criminal record, I should be allowed to carry a gun to protect myself. That's what it seems to be now, because the level of disrespect, you mentioned the situation, you, the motorcycle gang. And I hate to say this, Ms. Green. Most of them are Asian Bahamian young men. And that's just the way it is. They interact with Bahamians and way. But there's a motorcycle thieving gang going on. A friend of mine, I really know someone, a neighbor, where his bike was just stolen out of his driveway.
Mm-hmm. What
I'm saying is, there seems to be a preponderance of, I saw a guy got his motorcycle stolen, just went to get a beer. The keys was in the ignition. He walked about a couple of feet away, guy jumped on his motorbike and gone. And I've seen the difference. So when you go in Anglesey now, lock your car doors, be careful. I don't care what nobody says. I live in the inner city. I'm seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a social fallout. We have a housing crisis. All of these things are exacerbated by the country being filled up with everybody. And to me, we sit back and we look. You know, there's no solution. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's frightening as a senior citizen. And so what am I to do? Sit and call the police?
Yeah.
Aaron, these streets are poorly lit. I don't know if you noticed that just on East Street, I almost knocked a guy, ran across the road. You know what frightened me, Aaron? The car, when I was driving, didn't even have a tin on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could barely see him. And he's running. And he said, I'm sorry, because I told him I didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, these streets are poorly lit. People are riding around with tinted windows, et cetera, et cetera. That compounds the problem. everything is allowed to just go away, you know, and then we just sit and talk. I mean, this country is in a mess, you know, and these people inside Parliament bombing on the desk, eating 3 meals of dog food every day.
And calling and people white calling.
Protein destroys the kidneys in excess amount. Give thanks.
Yes, sir. They in the house calling other people's wives garlands and then crying, right? And then when somebody park them back, you get some big, dusty, peasy head man them and sausage neck back woman them on the road doing things like cutting you off and almost running you off the road and then cussing you and threatening to mess you up. If you don't stop acknowledging what just happened to you, I mean it's amazing. See, I don't tell y'all all the stories, you know. I don't tell y'all all the stories. Like one day I was coming over Okra Hill to go straight to Bay Street, right? And a large oversized vehicle was heading south from Bay Street to turn behind Island Traders, right? To go to Mackey Street. And I had to pause. They obviously were turning because they can't go straight south to Shirley Street at that point. So I had to pause. The car behind me, the driver was so upset that I wasn't turning right that he pulled up on the side of me and started cussing at me and threatening me. And when he realized he had to wait as well now because there was no next to me, right? He got worse and worse. And I saw him motioning in his waist. I said something, he started motioning in his waist. So I looked at him, see, sometimes I get crazy, right? And I looked at him, I said, big man, you really gonna pull your gun out here? And I call him officer, I say, officer, you gonna pull your gun out here at me right now because I had to stop my car? And he kind of stopped motion, catch himself. So I don't know if he was an officer or not, right? It's madness out there. Imagine, I'm stopped because I cannot proceed forward. And this boy was threatening like he was going to shoot me. And the police are all over the place asking you, why are you seeking their attention? Evidenced by the ticket I got for trying to draw their attention to people making a mockery of them in the road. See, but it's important to remember what the caller just said. Bad man, don't cry. Why are y'all out here acting like gangsters and then crying when people are simply acknowledging the harm that was done to them? And that goes for the political class as well. Producer, let's go to the phone line, please. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, you're really on the traffic situation here. It's appalling that, I mean, I've been driving for quite some time, and I've noticed the persons who are on the street now seem to be unevolved. They're not supposed to be in this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
They probably should have been in the medieval time mm-hmm. when there were no cars, because they don't factor in that these vehicles could actually damage you.
Yeah.
You know, and you seem to be very sensitive to this, and I'm beginning to pay special attention. Could you send me these text messages that you can't read on air?
I could try a thing. I could try a thing. But I am sensitive to it because unfortunately, I've had a series of experiences that render me unable to ignore it any longer. The same tragic accident that happened on East Bay Street a week and a half ago, I watched a man die right in that spot. Mm-hmm. I was almost hit by the lead car in their two-man drag race, right? About 10 years ago now, the last time I wore a dress, I had to wear the dress because my clothes were contaminated by the blood of a man who was sitting in my lap after being hit by a hit-and-run driver. As police tried to ignore us, they wouldn't even stop to direct traffic. My friend had to throw her body on the hood of the moving police car to get them to stop. I had five friends, one of them, five young friends, right? All involved in a traffic accident. Maybe the driver could have prevented the accident if he wasn't intoxicated, but they didn't cause the accident. The accident was caused by two people who thought that they could engage in sexual intercourse in their vehicle, in the public.
Okay.
My one friend who was on his way to university suffered irreparable brain damage, right? From I was a little girl, I live in the neighborhood with Rick Fox, mommy, and people them. And I was on the scene when Aaron Fox had a tragic accident. That young man was better than Rick Fox. My mother was almost killed by a hit-and-run driver at Fox Hill and Eastern Road intersection, along with Miss Fox. I think Miss Fox as well, from Johnson Road. So yeah, I'm a little sensitive to it.
I understand that now. So I will give you all the leverage you need,
mm-hmm.
and I'll absorb all the venting you could put up.
Yes, sir. And even the stories that are not connected to me, from the moment I heard from a person who was a witness in the courtroom dealing with a traffic fatality where a small Haitian boy was killed by a driver. That driver was only fined $400. $400. The life of a child. Yeah. So I'm a little sensitive too. Thank you very much, caller. Here's another text. Aaron, what's scary is that the guy whose bike was stolen was told to send $500 with the middleman who's an Asian Bahamian to get his own motorbike back. He got his bike back. No crimes reported. By the way, his bike was in his yard. Like, they put it back. Good morning, Miss Green. What I hardly hear anyone talk about is this long-standing culture where people feel entitled to stop anywhere on the streets and obstruct traffic in order to have a conversation with someone who's either walking in another vehicle and will dare you to ask them to move. We're going to get right to that text after this caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Okay. I call concerning why the PLP allowed that fella to run in, what is this, Elutra?
All right, let's go.
I personally have a problem with that.
You mean Mr. Petty in North Eleuthera or Mr. Sweeting in Central and South Eleuthera?
No, the one who was charged.
Oh, North Abaco. Kirk Cornish, yeah. For North Abaco, yes, sir.
Yeah, they should have not let him run. That shows very disrespect to our females.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they party men, they would give him something. But they should have not nominated him to run.
Now, let's stick a pin. Mr. Cornish was found not guilty.
Yeah, but...
I'm just making the point. For those who would call in and say, but he was found not guilty, you're all disparaging him. That the reason why he should not be ratified again is because of the disregard for the Westminster system and its standards. That's my position.
Yeah, well, the other gentleman up take him, what he say, he didn't want to run, they ain't let him run,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, he was found not guilty, they still could have put somebody else, you know,
I think they should know. Have.
See, I think that shows very disrespect to our female woman. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I appreciate your point. I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that the man was found not guilty. Because the people are going to say he's found not guilty, so you can't stop them from ratifying him. That's not the reason why. See, the reason for me would be the time it took from the moment that the police indicated that they would like to speak with him in regard to these matters. For you see, the duration of time from they indicated that to the time when he actually went in to see them suggests to me a total and utter disregard, if not complete ignorance, of what the Westminster system requires of members of the House of Parliament, right? The accusations alone are sufficient for me to suggest to my party members that maybe not another round. We've never had a problem asking people to step back before. See, did y'all have a problem asking Leroy Major to step down? Y'all didn't even mention the Golden Yoke program. See, because if there were a reason, wouldn't it be the Golden Yoke program? Unless, of course, it isn't the Golden Yoke program. Put that on the table. But nobody, right, like, he hasn't been ratified, he's an incumbent, right? And I'm sitting here waiting for word on the Golden Yolk program. Eggs are back down to $2 and something cents for eggs, and I don't see a Golden Yolk program sticker on any of them. Right? Like, so we don't, like, there's nothing, and y'all still ask him to step down. So what's the problem with asking Kirk Cornish, who we could all acknowledge was found not guilty? What's the problem with asking him to sit this one out? The same way you asked Ms. Bo to sit down. Like, what's the problem with it? That for me is concerning. And then I'd like for somebody to ask Mr. Petty, what's up with this change of heart? What's up with the change of heart? Why is anybody excited to get back to Eleuthera? Y'all can't keep the power on. You can't keep the water on. You can't keep the lights and the roads on. You can't keep the roads paved. You can't stop the people from speeding up and down the roads. Like we say, thank God for the massive development in Eleuthera and the insurgence of private sector services, right? You have fire trucks. You have ambulances. Why are you so excited to go back to the seat that you emphatically said you were going to be done with? As a text, Ms. Green, a dude stopped in the middle of a one-way street to talk to somebody holding up traffic. I blew my horn and the passenger hopped out the car and said, "But you want me shoot up this car, eh?" The text said, "It's better you than me because I sometimes lose my head," and I would have told them, "Yes, do it. Let me see you dance." Because some of y'all big man them don't know what it means to be a gangster. There are many of us who are tired of it. And the only thing we could do is beg the Ministry of National Security and the Prime Minister to cause and compel those under their supervision and their colleagues to govern themselves, to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior, to live up to the statutory, the ethical, and moral obligations that they have volunteered themselves for. Your Grammy can't kick you into the defense force. You volunteer to do that. You volunteer to be a police officer. I tell you, it is the most amazing thing. Try asking a traffic officer to conduct traffic enforcement. And then they can look at you like, "Oh, I know, how you know?" Because you have a bicycle and you got the black uniform. And you get the shorts. Nobody, you're not being disrespectful. That's just what your assignment is. Do that. Here's the text. Also, many pedestrians are now walking with their heads engrossed in their phones. It's like their androids are mindless robots. They act like cars can hurt them or drivers are not doing likewise on cell phones. It's ridiculous. Eleuthera, back to the future. Listen, let's talk about it for a second. The most disheartening thing is to see tourist ambassadors, tour guides, and these salespersons who are attempting to garner sales from tourists, y'all directing them to jaywalk. I mean, every day, the people telling them, "No, jump in front of the car." The police telling them to jaywalk. The police watching them jaywalk. The people, deep heads deep in their phones. Central Bank, y'all put a pedestrian crossing at Balcony House where virtually all of your staff, where they used to cross the road, put the pedestrian crossing there. Or please figure out how to compel your staff to use the pedestrian crossing that you put there for them to enter the parking lot. And just before we go, East Hill Street, right next to Government House. On Friday, when I was heading home, I had to pause and wait for a fire truck to make a 7-point turn because the people were double parked on East Hill Street. Oh, yeah, and then the people are always in the disabled parking spot. And I get it because the budget was, you know, removed, had $25,000 removed from it the other day for that budget cycle. And I bet you they never replaced it. I'm not a wagering person. Don't mind me. It's at the root, you know. Take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. Otherwise, you end up with more dollars than cents. Also, to my Fox Hill cousin, I thought you was going to call back. We going to talk about this iguana, invasive iguana they find out west. We going to talk about it. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Remember, we got the Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture this Thursday. Hannah Hasty Times, people. We got our general meeting. We're talking reunion details. Edmund Moxie Community Center Lunch and Learn today is a part of Ministry of National Security Community Centers Awareness Week. Y'all, have a good day, because guess what? C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.